It was great that Trump said in his press conference that, you know, whatever peace agreement is negotiated will include South Korea and China. This is obviously a conflict that would devastate not just the Korean Peninsula, but the entire region. So peace is in the air, and we have a lot of work to do, especially as a peace movement in this country.
We want to thank you all for being with us. Christine Ahn, founder of Women Cross DMZ, Professor Bruce Cummings of University of Chicago, and Democratic Congressmember Ro Khanna. We'll do part two with Congressmember Khanna about Yemen and the possibility the U.S. will expand and support the expanded war in Yemen. That does it for our show, Democracy Now!, produced by Mike Burke, Renee Feltz, Nermeen Sheikh, Carla Wells, Laura Gottesdiener, Sam Malkoff, John Hamilton, Robbie Karen, Hani Massoud. I'm Amy Goodman with Juan Gonzalez.
This is KBOO Portland. The time now is 8 o'clock, and coming up next is the Abe and Joe Talk Radio Show.
KBOO Community Radio holds an open meeting concerning the operations and programming of KBOO in accordance with requirements of the Communications Act of 1934 and certification requirements of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Information about KBOO Community Radio's open meeting policy is available by calling the station at 503-231-8032. Meetings will be conducted at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue, Portland, Oregon, unless otherwise noted. The Program Advisory Committee meets the second Tuesday of each month at 6 p.m. Please call 503-231-8032 to verify if a meeting is being held.
KBOO Community Radio is proud to present the live broadcast for the 26th annual Good in the Hood Multicultural Music, Arts, and Food Festival. This three-day celebration kicks off Friday, June 22nd, with the Good in the Hood Parade and Festival continuing Saturday, June 23rd, and ending Sunday evening, June 24th. Good in the Hood is back at King School Park at Northeast Grand Avenue. Tune into KBOO starting Saturday afternoon on June 23rd for the live broadcast. More information about Good in the Hood can be found on the KBOO.fm website on the home page.
KBOO programming is made possible by KBOO listener members and support from Indigo Gardens, located in East Portland, providing fresh-cut floral design for weddings, events, and personal bouquets. Indigo Gardens also offers a weekly summer bouquet CSA. More information available by phone at 503-421-1435 and online at indigogardenspdx.com. Good morning. This is KBOO 90.7 on your FM dial here in Portland, Oregon. This is the Abe and Joe Talk Radio Show. Abe Proctor and Joe Uris. I'm Joe Uris, and Abe ain't here. You can talk to us at 231-8187, and we do welcome your calls. Right now, this very moment, I have in studio Lori Blank and Dave King. They're going to tell us about, and I should know this better than I do, but I don't. And that's the point, the Portland Clean Energy Fund. And Laura, you're going to explain what the hell this thing is and why you want to do this?
Right, I will. But I wanted to say one thing right from the get-go that we, on the way over to KBOO this morning, Dave and I were listening to KBOO, of course, and we heard ourselves announced as the organizers of this. And I want to make very clear that we are soldiers in this struggle, and which is an excellent struggle, and we'll tell you about it. But the organizers are groups, mainly communities of color, the Coalition of Communities of Color, APANO, NAYA Family Center, the NAACP. We'll talk more about these groups later, but these groups of communities of color combined with environmental groups like 350.org and Sierra Club to produce an incredible ballot measure. So, and Dave and I are part of Climate Jobs PDX, and our group is taking a good, significant role in getting petitions signed and getting the word out about this ballot measure. So, what the ballot? First of all, I mean, I love the the Leonard Cohen song that just played, and democracy may not be coming to the USA very fast at this point, though it's starting.
Yeah, we're a little anachronistic.
But it's definitely coming to Portland. So, and Portland and many other cities can join on the bandwagon that Portland is starting, and then it is part of coming to the USA that way. So what we are. You know, of course, in a period of devastating policies coming out of Washington, but here in Portland, we have a chance to put a groundbreaking measure on the ballot and vote for it and win it this November. Right now, we're at the signature gathering stage. We have to get 42,000 signatures by July 6th. The ballot measure is called the Portland Clean Energy Fund, and what this measure does is raise $30 million a year. And that $30 million a year goes to projects in clean energy, in energy efficiency, in renewable energy, and sustainable agriculture, and also not only projects, but jobs and training to implement these projects. The jobs and training and the projects prioritized are low-income people and people of color to get the jobs and the training, and also low-income communities will be prioritized in receiving the benefits of clean energy in their communities.
The minimum pay is $20.25 an hour.
Why, that's almost
right
a
now.
Living wage.
Almost,
exactly.
Yeah. And
exactly.
It goes up with inflation because it's tied to the minimum wage.
Yeah, it's 180% of the minimum wage. So these aren't, minimum wage jobs. They're almost double the minimum wage. So it's the wonderful thing about this measure. I just want to tell you all about the last big piece. So the first one is that it's the jobs and projects and energy efficiency and renewable energy. The second piece is that it redresses a lot of racism and inequality by prioritizing who the jobs go to and what communities receive the projects. The third thing is, and everyone wants to know, where does this $30 million come from? Well, the $30 million comes from a 1% surcharge on the business license fee of the biggest national retail corporations that do business in Portland. So, this is not Powell's or even New Seasons. It's Walmart, it's 7-Eleven, it's the Bank of America. It's those corporations that really have the dough, that exploit people, and it's taking a little bit back from them.
Comcast is their favorite.
Okay, go ahead.
Right. So that's the third piece, that it's a socially just method of getting the funds for this. And $30 million a year is nothing to sneeze at. I mean, you look at it over 10 years, that's a lot of resources going into great projects and good jobs. And it's, really the jobs that need to be done at this time in our planet.
Well, now this has a local taxing aspect, though, right?
How do you?
Well, it's... You're asking this money from these large national corporations,
right.
But there's also a base of taxation that is also local, a certain amount of money from Portland area.
No.
Goes, no?
No, the money
See?
Solely...
Good thing you're here.
Yeah, no, yeah. The money solely comes... It goes into a fund that is distributed locally, but the money comes from these... national retail corporations that do at least $1 billion a year of sales nationally and $500,000 in Portland.
Half a million in Portland. Well, are the large, giant, mega corporations aware of this project? Have they started their campaign of smear yet?
Yeah, the Portland Business Alliance has been litigating. That's why there's such a push to get these signatures, because it took a long time to get it on the street, because they kept litigating it, and, oh, this is unconstitutional, and one thing and another. We finally got it on the street, I think.
May 9th or so.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and it's interesting because it's...
April 9th.
May 9th.
Was it May 9th?
Yeah, okay. Yeah. And it's interesting that it's so-called the Portland Business Alliance. You think that has to do with Portland businesses. But this measure is raising money from national businesses that do business in Portland. They have to be huge national businesses. So what is the Portland, you know, you can ask, what is the Portland Business Alliance, you know, why are they involved in this? And it's because they are carrying water for the Chamber of Commerce nationally, the big guys who don't want to see this as a precedent around the country. Because if Portland can do this, why can't Seattle or, you know, all the other cities do it?
Yeah, this is a first. Portland's the first place.
All right, so let me get this straight. You're proposing a relatively low surcharge.
That's right.
On the taxation from these huge mega corporations.
On the sales.
On the sales of these huge mega corporations.
Right.
This in turn goes to creating a whole set of programs. Mm-hmm. And the training for the people to execute these programs in this market. That means it increases jobs and it produces a greener Portland.
Right, right.
I always say that what it's about is weatherizing and solarizing all our houses.
That'd be good.
Everybody.
Yeah. And businesses.
Yeah, and businesses. Mm-hmm. Yeah, all the whole town, and get us off of fossil fuels.
Okay, what's I have to ask this, what's the downside? Is there a downside?
No
downside.
I don't see any downside. I mean, it's
not for us.
I mean, what we need in this whole world, but we really have to start with the United States, is a just transition away from the fossil fuel economy. We need a just transition, meaning people can't suffer, especially people who have already been suffering in this capitalist economy, shouldn't have to suffer as we transition to a fossil fuel-free economy. And this is a perfect example of how to do that. It's a model of what a just transition looks like.
Huh. Well, all this sounds very good, but I want to know whether there's any just out there opposition or questions that need to be asked. I'm going to throw it open for our audience, and I really want to hear from people asking what the hell this is and how they feel about it and so on. It's, to me, this is something that is so obviously a sensible approach. I don't see how it hurts the big boys, and I don't see how it can be anything but helpful to ordinary people. But let's get some folks on the air that have other questions or support. The number to call, 231-8187. Want to hear from you. We don't have any calls yet. That means you and I, we three, get to chatter.
Well. I don't think they're valid objections, but like with ballot measure, with Measure 97, the statewide measure that actually passed in Multnomah County, though it didn't pass in Oregon, the big companies also we're going to feel a little bit of having to pay for something, and they, you know, bellyached and carried on and said that prices were going to go up. So they're likely to say that because of this, prices are going to go up. Because of this 1% surcharge, McDonald's, which would be one of the companies that would be having to pay a 1% surcharge on their sales in Portland, they're not going to raise their the point is that they're not going to raise their price in Portland and then keep one penny or 1% more and keep the same price in Beaverton or Clackamas County.
But that's
what they're going to say.
Yeah, they're going to whine about this, even though. What is it? There's 130 of these companies that'll be paying, and 45 of them have tax havens. They don't pay any taxes, mm-hmm. but they're going to whine about this.
Right.
And it's the principle.
And they got this tax cut from our president, mm-hmm. big old tax cut, but they'll be whining.
Well, we got a lot of callers, and I want to give those folks a chance. Lou, you're on the air.
Good morning. I'm glad to see this topic on your program.
Sure.
If you want people to play devil's advocate for Portland Business Alliance, for example, basically Oregon, for whatever reason, winds up being a testing ground for these sorts of measures. So fluoride, GMO labeling, Measure 97 last year. If things can be defeated at the state level, and especially in an allegedly blue state, then it discourages, or the soda tax that was proposed for a while here. Mm-hmm. It's a way to discourage other people in other states doing that. Portland Business Alliance used to be called the Portland Chamber of Commerce.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And they changed their name. At Portland State, some of us advocated on two projects against PBA. They're changing their executive director. Sandy McDonough is retiring in June this month. So perhaps the new one will be better. We wrote an article against Sandra criticizing the left in the Vanguard, the school paper. So one question I had was, of the 130 corporations targeted nationally, does it include four specifically? And I have a reason for asking. But then the four I'm curious about is Kroger and Fred Meyer, which is the same company, Safeway, Plaid Pantry, and 7-Eleven. Are all four of those in, or you don't know?
Well, they're all, I would imagine, they're all in. But one thing we didn't say is there are exemptions, like food items are exempt, but not McDonald's hamburgers, but food that you buy in a grocery store are exempt. Medical medicines are exempt, and utilities are exempt, and healthcare is exempt.
Okay.
So there are those exemptions.
It's the food that food stamps covers.
Yeah.
Plaid Pantry is local, even though they have 100 stores, so they might be exempt both on selling food and being local, although it's kind of junk food. But it sounds like all four of those grocery store chains would probably be exempt because they sell food primarily.
They're exempt. The items of food that you can buy with food stamps are exempt, but other items aren't. So a lot of what's in Kroger and Safeway is not food items.
Sure.
Yeah, and just since we're on this topic, Kroger... is QFC, and it's Freddy's and several other major chains in this region. And they're a big national mm-hmm. food chain.
Yeah.
So, I mean, a lot of Kroger would be, a lot of that would fall under this measure, and there would be a surcharge on those items.
Right. Well, the other point I was going to try to make was I asked about those four corporations because at Portland State, our small coalition is working on a project on TriMet, something that I don't think Joe's heard about, but it's to try to keep paper tickets and paper monthly passes.
Oh, I'm for that. I'm for that. I hate the hopper.
Right, as an option. So we have an anti-hop campaign, and what we're going to do is try to have a ricochet effect to hit up those four food corporations, because on TriMet buses now, and I'm a TriMet rider, they have like 10 signs per bus plus one on the out saying, say, hop is cool. But hop apparently costs $30 million of our tax money to implement the equipment, and we haven't found a figure yet how much they're spending on advertising to convince people. But if we figure we, as an option, people, and they could always break the word, TriMet would keep paper passes and paper tickets. That would be helpful. And our idea is to hit up those four corporations because they're listed on the advertising as the places where you can so conveniently do your electronic computer purchasing and see if they would put pressure on TriMet. Because TriMet's board is not elected. It's not accountable to anyone.
Right.
The other thing about PBA I would just add quickly, I know you have other callers show,
Sure. Is
Portland Business Alliance has tended to be totally anti-homeless, anti-worker. We worked briefly on a project last winter where they refused to pay some of their temp workers who were low-income people from downtown. So it doesn't mean Portland Business Alliance is uniformly evil, but it seems like in terms of businesses, they're one of the far more conservative, not necessarily alt-right, but conservative organizations in Portland. Thanks for doing this topic on the green tax. Thanks. Bye.
Sure. Since Hopper and so on have come up, I'm just very briefly, I pay with... In order to promote TriMet, about a year or two ago, they gave me a lot of free old fart tickets, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And those theoretically are not valid anymore, but there's no not valid after date on any of those tickets. And I go on the train and so on, and I have that ticket. I can't find a place to validate it. So I just hold on to it. I've never been challenged. But if I were, I would say, hey, here's the ticket. It doesn't have an expiration date. I'm on this bus or train perfectly legitimately. Now, I don't know what would happen. Perhaps after this, they'll get
me. You just painted a target on your back.
Yeah, really. But the fact of the matter is that I think I'm legally right. There's no expiration date on those things. And I don't think I have to... throw away these perfectly good tickets that they gave me to make me want to take their mm-hmm. equipment. So, you know, just something to think about in a world of constantly changing electronic doodads. Okay, anyway, so we got a lot of callers. What we're talking about is the Clean Energy Fund. This is a petition drive to put this thing on the ballot. Essentially, it'll cost you and me probably nothing. Maybe the threat will be made that food prices would go up, but I don't quite see how that would work.
1%.
1%. That ain't nothing. So
can I jump in with something else? Just another aspect of all of this is the process of how this measure came to be. That it's groundbreaking also that people of color organizations have gotten together with environmental organizations to do this. I mean, that in itself, that kind of coalition building is very powerful, not only for this measure, but for future coalition efforts to change this whole society around that in ways that it has to be changed. I mean, that's a very big part of this, of groups coming together. And I just want to mention the groups again. These are the steering committee of this whole project.
Well, and 350 was in the beginning, but the other environmental groups came on later. Much later.
Yeah. Okay. So it's 350, and then the groups are Coalition of Communities of Color, APANO, which is the Asian Pacific American Network of Oregon, the Naya Family Center, Native American Family Center, NAACP, Verde, which is a group that's in Cully neighborhood that for years has done incredibly interesting environmental projects and made sure that the people working on the projects were people from the neighborhood, and many of them Latino.
And they're building parks, as I understand.
Yeah, and, mm-hmm. and bioswales, you know, where water can be treated.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And then joining in with, like Dave was saying, 350 PDX was one of the originals, but then Sierra Club, the Audubon Society, and Physicians for Social Responsibility. And then there, after that, there's many, many organizations that have come on to endorse this, including some unions, which is great.
Well, I think it is great. I'm the reason why I had you guys on is I have to be clear on this. I really think this is a nice idea. Yeah. And it's mm-hmm. kind of a model that could be used nationally. So if you succeed, first of all, in getting it on the ballot, and second of all, after the smearing that will happen, if you can succeed in getting people to go for it, you have a model, and I think it's really exciting.
We've been doing a lot of petitioning, and if it gets on the ballot, I'm sure it'll pass. Lori's not quite so sure, but I'm sure it will because people love it, quite a few people love that it's paid for by giant retail corporations.
Imagine that.
They like that. Yeah. Yeah. So I think Portland is, I'm really impressed with the people of Portland. The people are pretty hip.
Well, I think it's a, I hope it works. I think, first of all, that this is the kind of project that, for me, is very clean, it's very clear, mm-hmm. it's very, it's a transfer of money on a very low level from the rich to the ordinary. I'm not going to say poor, because it is for ordinary folk at this point.
Yeah.
And I think that's a very important thing. We got other callers. Who do we have?
Anon?
Hello?
Hello.
You're on.
I have both gratitude and question. What I love about this is it addresses racism, houselessness, joblessness, mm-hmm. corporate mm-hmm. corruption, exactly. corporations that are not paying taxes, having to do something with a business license they wouldn't otherwise be paying. It's not robbing Peter to pay Paul. And it gives us hope and energy independence, emergency preparedness, disaster resilience. And it crosses a lot of the class, culture, race barriers.
Right.
My question is, and I just love how the process of developing it over the last year and coalition building has been awakening people and creating shared connectivity activism. I love that. But my question is, could you name some of the corporations? I know it's, I'm hearing that banks are going to be having mm-hmm. to pay. And that those who are selling food that is eligible for food stamps would not be paying for that part.
That's right.
But could you name, like Walmart, could you name the corporations?
It would be good, actually, if we had the list. I don't think we have it here, but...
Well, we'll just name a few.
We'll name a few, yeah. Well, like, definitely McDonald's, Burger King, those type of stores, Kentucky Fried Chicken.
Comcast.
Yeah, Comcast. Bank of America.
Yeah,
you know, all the banks.
The big banks.
Yeah. All those are...
Walmart, Target.
Yeah, yep. Target, all of that, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Target.
No, I think it's...
Now, Intel and Nike... have I've read or heard that they have 30 or whatever years of not having to pay taxes. This is a surcharge on a business license.
Right.
Right.
So are they having to pay something?
Nike definitely. Because Nike does $1 billion a year nationally and $500,000 in... I mean, the criteria is $1 billion a year nationally in sales or more, and in Portland, at least $500,000 in sales. And I'm sure Nike...
Well,
I think that $500 million in City of Portland retail.
$500,000.
Yeah.
Within Portland and over $1 billion nationally.
Yeah, I think the question of how this will be implemented in terms of corporation by corporation, I would imagine some will fight. Some will go to court. They will delay it. They have lawyers galore. Mm-hmm. And there will be some struggle around that. But the overall impact, first of all, the impact of the idea is extremely important. Secondly, the impact when it's implemented will be amazing. So I find it a very exciting project. The fact that the communities of color, the fact that in general the environmental community is supporting this, bringing those two communities together is a powerful, mm-hmm. powerful thing. And I like that.
Oh, and it reduces evictions and houselessness.
Sure. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It helps elderly age in place.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It is so good in so many ways. And it prevents us from the loss of our good citizens who have to move out because they cannot afford the energy, the food, the rent.
Yeah, right.
The landlords cannot raise your rent or evict you with the free improvements. I mean,
that's
I
right.
think this is mm-hmm. incredible.
You know this. Another thing that you know you brought up the eviction. So many people are unable to pay their utility bills. That's something I didn't know about. It's a lot of people end up having to become homeless because they can't. You know, they just can't pay their utility bills. They've tried. You know, they have other expenses, but the utility bills are a huge piece of people's expenses.
And when you're poor, expenses. You have to pay more for food and mm-hmm. pay more for electricity because
right.
you don't have an insulated house. This free weatherizing and free insulating helps
yep. you. It really yep. helps you.
No,
yeah, and
it,
a lot of people don't heat their house in the wintertime because they can't afford to.
Right.
And they're sitting
no,
in their
I think that I see nothing evil in this. I see this as a reasonable and very modest attempt to create a better housing, healthier housing, create a better community, find jobs for people. There's a lot of people who mm-hmm. haven't got skills for the modern technological world. This builds those skills into the system, and I really like it for that reason alone.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it prioritizes union apprenticeship programs.
Good idea.
Yeah.
It reduces drug addiction and crime,
yep.
providing job opportunities and training opportunities for people who otherwise would be left out.
Your call is making me think that we should now plug the need for signature gatherers because
right.
This caller is really, the enthusiasm and knowledge is so apparent, and it would be great at this point to say that we need more people to gather signatures because we need to get 42,000 by July 6th.
How many do you have?
We are on track. We don't know the exact number, but we're on track, so which is great, meaning that we're...
The train's left the station.
Yeah, and we're the train has left the station, but the train is in the right,
right.
area for where it should be at this point. But we still have a ways to
so
go.
So how can people reach out to you guys to be petitioners?
Oh, well... Probably the best way at this point is to go to the Sierra Club to pick up materials and get a mini training. And the Sierra Club has opened its doors to this. They're great. The address is 1821 Southeast Ankeny.
1821
Southeast
Ankeny.
And their phone number is 503-238-0442. 503-238-0442. And they have all the materials there, and they have, like, people to give mini trainings on how to collect signatures.
Okay, that I think that's very useful. We have other callers. I want to give them a chance. And by the way, if you find this abhorrent, don't hesitate to tell us. But I do want to hear from all of you. Who do we have?
Camila.
Hi. Hey. I just want to call in to support this discussion, particularly Dave and Lori. I'm another one of the soldiers. I've been involved in the project as a team leader for 350 PDX for the past year. And in that capacity, I've gone around to a lot of neighborhood associations, private nonprofits, unions, religious organizations. And the feeling that the last caller brought to this conversation is what I've encountered out in the community, this tremendous support. A lot of people are volunteering. There is great energy created by this. And what is so admirable about that is that it's bringing people together, bringing organizations together, bringing people of color and the environmental and progressive movements in this city together. And this is something that's going to be sustainable. And it's something that I've been an activist here for the last 6 years, and I really haven't seen people of color and progressives working together on anything like this. So this is really exciting, but we got to get on the ballot. We need more volunteers carrying signatures.
Yeah, so I'm going to repeat that the Sierra Club is the place to get orientation, to pick up materials, to ask folks to sign the petition. Their phone number is 503-238-0442, and I would argue that this is a very modest attempt to deal with a number of problems. The fact there are many, many people who need jobs that pay a decent wage, and this is a way to get those skills. Secondly, this is a way to make our homes more efficient and without a continuing cost. Once things are done, it's done. And finally, it's a beginning, a very modest beginning, toward recognizing the responsibility of corporations to us as citizens of this region.
Amen.
I'd like to just add a little bit of information to what has already been said.
Sure, go ahead.
The website for the campaign is portlandcleanenergyfund.com. And on the website, you can find information about trainings that are available for people who want to carry petitions, and also indications of where to go to find people who are gathering in lines and waiting for events to reach potential signature gatherers.
Okay, can you repeat that website?
PortlandCleanEnergyFund.com.
Great,
yeah.
Thanks.
Yeah. Thanks, Camille.
And one other piece of information, that phone number, you want to get extension 307 in order to reach the campaign.
Oh, thanks,
Camille. Okay, that's very helpful. So
thank
that's
you.
It's 503-238-0442 and extension 307. Thanks very
right.
much.
Camilo, thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's Camilo brought out that that you can look at this website and see events and places that you can go and petition. And Dave and I have been doing that, like Dave says. It's really fun and very interesting to be out for 2 hours or so at the Rose Parade. We went to the Rose Parade. We went to the Children's Rose Parade, which was really fun, and Starlight Parade and the St. John's Market. And you can go to different markets. You know, there are so many markets around Portland on Saturdays and different days of the week.
The Canton Street Fair.
Canton Street Fair. There's so many places like that that are still happening this month that you can petition at. A bunch of us are going to be at Pride as people are massing up for the parade, the terrific Portland Pride Parade this Sunday. There's lots of people to petition there, and a number of us are going to be down there at 8:30 in the morning, starting the day.
People are even doing the lines at brunch places.
Right. Oh, the weird, incredibly powerful brunch thing.
Yeah. I haven't done it yet, but I want to go to Saturday Market and do the line in front of the bathroom.
Yeah.
People
I'm not
up.
Going there.
Yeah.
All right.
Captive audience.
Yeah, really. All right, so the number here is 231-8187. We're talking about the very important Clean Energy Fund project and the effort to get signatures to put this thing on the ballot. Now, we haven't had a campaign to attack it yet. There will be a lot of money for that purpose, mm-hmm. but this is an important thing. And I want to remind people, if you're petitioning out there or signing, the weather's good.
Yes.
Yeah, it's not freezing cold, so yeah. it's a nice opportunity to interact with people.
It's really fun. It's fun meeting people. Portland, I'm just amazed at how many really nice people there are in Portland that understand what's going on.
Yeah, uh-huh.
They're willing to do something.
Like what you're saying, I mean, when you get to the part about where the money comes from, people tend to grab your pen.
Yeah.
You know, they want to sign it. Oh, that did it.
My eye doctor, she was asking me, well, where's the money come from? From the biggest corporations. Give me that.
Yeah.
Okay.
A doctor.
Let's go to the phones, 231-8187. Mike, you're on the air.
Hi, guys.
Hi.
I was just wondering, how does it affect employees of those corporations, such as like Costco, that pays a livable wage? Have you gotten any data on how that might affect them or Walmart?
Are you asking whether or not the cost would be passed on to the workers? Is that your point?
Yeah, I mean,
or could be
to an extent. Like Walmart, for example, they already pay horrible wages for their employees. How does that? I mean, I just assume it would affect the employees first before that, or even Costco that does pay a livable wage. How does that affect them?
Hard to tell.
Yeah.
A union that negotiates with some of these employers was a little nervous about it, but they're not opposing it. So I don't think it's going to have a big effect.
I think it's an interesting question. I think it might be a struggle within each organization. Right. I don't think that this amount, which is really quite small,
1%.
Although perhaps symbolic and therefore threatening to monopoly capital, I don't really think they're going to try to pass it on to their workers.
I don't think they. I agree. I don't think they would, but it's very possible that's the kind of thing they may say in the campaign. Mm-hmm. And that's why, you know, I think if it gets on the ballot, it will win. But I also think it'll be a big fight and that we'll have to really be, you know, answering these things and putting out what the real issue is, that these corporations just don't want to pay things and they'll say anything to not
Remember that every time a ballot measure is initiated by the people, I mean, this is echoing what you're saying, but it's really really a fact. There are huge campaigns, much of which are based on lies, mm-hmm. to terrify people and make them unwilling to support anything like this. But the fact of the matter is that logically, rationally, this is a very modest proposal mm-hmm. that can have enormous impact. I really like the part of creating jobs for people.
Right, and they're good jobs. Mm-hmm. They're not, you know, they're not minimum wage jobs.
Plus, it's going to be looking to the future. The whole idea of weatherization and of creating power from the sun and the wind and so on. So rational, so reasonable, so necessary, and so in opposition to the poisonous coal and petroleum industry that dominates our electricity and power sources now.
And is ruining our planet.
I just have two more questions.
Sure.
Just really quick. Question for the panel. So have you been able to work or cooperate with any of these big corporations? Have you reached out to them or have they reached out to you to get the ball rolling, maybe be positive about this? And the other thing is, for my last two questions, are you know, a good way to help the environment is by going local, buying local, going to the farmers market,
mm-hmm.
helping out your neighbors, you know, instead of these big corporations where they're cheap, they might be cheaper, but they're not inputting to your community.
You're
not buying from your neighbor.
You're totally right.
My last comment is a good way to fight greenhouse gases and keep the environment safe and clean is going vegan.
Oh,
so that's it. Thank you, guys.
Okay, thanks.
Thanks for the call. Yeah.
The climate is I mean, we haven't talked about that, but this is, it's aimed at the climate, and it's really going to help the climate. I mean, when you think about the fuel that's spent heating our houses, it's incredible. You know, I mean, we just have a little dinky house, and you look at that furnace peak in there and see the fire. We have a gas-fired furnace. See the fire going in that furnace. It's amazing. And then you look at all the houses with furnaces like that, big houses. It's a lot of fossil fuels being burned, a lot of carbon dioxide thrown into the air. And we're in a world of hurt. I'm not sure that the planet's going to get out of this.
Well, this reminds me of something else that's going on in the opposite direction. It seems that the airlines and the fuel industry and the airplane technology industry have decided to initiate once again supersonic transports, that is airplanes to take rich people, because that's the way it works, at high speeds from here to Europe or here to Asia in very few hours, and to do that at very high altitudes, burning immense amount of hydrocarbons and poisoning the environment. This was something that was abandoned by both the old Soviet Union and the United States when it became obvious that it was and Europe, when it became obvious that this was not a great idea and there was not that many people that needed to be in Europe in 2 hours as opposed to, what is it, six. And the fact of the matter is that that's the kind of selfishness that characterizes this era in American politics, particularly in the Republican side of things. So I see that this is part of a large, I mean, I'll say huge, transition in the thinking of ordinary people. Well, what can I do? Well, this is something you can do.
And this is something, and once it gets on the ballot, which is what we're really working so hard for, there will be arguments like it's going to hurt workers, you know, Kroger's is going to, you know, cut wages, or they're going to say.
Well, they're unionized. I don't think they can do
that.
Well,
they can try, but the thing is, there has to be a fight. I mean, but the point is that they're going to say things that they're really not going to do. They're going to try and whip up fear.
Oh, they'll scare the hell out of you.
They'll scare people. And what we really should be concerned with and afraid about is what Dave brought up, is the climate. I mean, that's the thing that we have to join together on to deal with, and really join together on. Underlying this is that climate and environment has used to be looked at as kind of a white middle class issue, but it's not. It's an issue for workers. It's an issue for all races, all everyone.
We all breathe the same damn air.
We're all together in this, and this is something that we can join together on to deal with.
Well,
and if we're fighting the corporations and the high level capitalists on this, so be it. We have to deal with that.
People in Houston that were flooded out were people of color that lived in the low places that weren't, you know, rich people go up on the hill.
Yeah.
Well, rich people go up on the hill everywhere except South America.
Yeah, right.
That's where the poor people go.
That's right.
but anyway, I think it's really a valid point that this is, to me, a very equitable, I mean, it's a modest and equitable program that can make some significant difference and can set a pattern that we need desperately.
Yeah, they can go around the country.
The real question, the real intellectual question that we'll all be needing to answer in the next few years is a capitalist system at all consistent with and reasonable in light of the challenges we face in the climate?
Good question.
That's a good question. And there's reason to believe, I think strong reason to believe, that it's not. But in dealing with the climate and doing it and building coalitions, we will be not only dealing with the climate, but we'll be dealing with racism, we'll be dealing with job inequities, we'll be dealing with the poor quality of jobs. All these issues come up.
Homelessness.
Fighting against privatization and austerity, all of these things are part of dealing with the climate, and they're also part of dealing with all the other things that are ailing us.
You're going to keep me from flying in my supersonic plane from here to Europe in only 2 hours.
Hey,
you're going to break my heart.
You'll have to take the Lear.
I bring that up not because it's directly relevant to this, but because it is so typical of what's going on right now. I mean, it's like the song, the rich get richer and the poor get children, you know? All right, 2318187, who do we got? Mike, you're on the air.
Oh, hey, thanks for the show. And I had a couple questions.
Sure.
Years ago, I hope it's still going on, it's kind of a business alliance locally here, maybe nationally, called the Apollo Alliance.
Oh, yeah.
And I hope that's still going, if you have any info on
that. Maybe you can tell us what it is, because I'm not aware of it.
Yeah.
It's the Blue-Green
Alliance.
It's like
the Blue-Green Alliance. Uh-huh.
Yeah. Oh, the Blue-Green Alliance.
And
okay.
it is going on. It's an alliance of businesses and unions and environmental groups. And there's a new director in Portland mm-hmm. of the Blue-Green Alliance. I actually don't remember his name or have it right now, but I think he's probably very good, and that's what I hear about it. They do projects that really try to show that it's good for everyone, including businesses, to go green. You know, I think there's some limitations to how far they go because businesses pull back. You know, the business interests really do get pretty dominant. So that's why there's groups like Climate Jobs, which is not in alliance with businesses, and also there's a Labor Network for Sustainability that I would encourage people to check out. You can go online. It's a labor network, so it's unions and environmental groups. It's not also allied with businesses.
Okay.
And it's a
labor network
for sustainability.
Yeah, no, I
and
think
the other,
go ahead, I'm sorry.
The other question just about Hawaii announcing some goals. So anyway, have a good morning.
Right. Thanks very much. I appreciate the calls. Do we have some other people, perhaps? We do not. We get to chatter on endlessly.
Great.
Yeah.
That's
what
wonderful.
The hell?
You know, I wanted to say one thing about, we're talking about the opposition that we're going to be facing.
Yeah.
This little funky radio station is going to be a key in dealing with that opposition. People listen to it. I told you. I got a woman to sign the petition. She said, "Oh, good! I heard about this the other day. Where'd you hear about it? On KBOO, on that talk show on Tuesday. Some guy called in. That was me."
This is getting self-referential.
Okay, yeah, self-referential indeed. But the fact of the matter is that we. Who see things, I think, quite clearly in terms of the economic and the environmental issues that are actually quite crisis-creating, have an obligation to speak out. One of the things that's happened in the Trump era is that we have developed what looks like the proto-conditions of Germany in the 1920s and 30s, where we have street thugs, left and right, fighting each other over what? Symbolic behavior. Symbolic behavior is useful to get the symbols out there. It has no meaning in the world of real politics or the real world of economics. And it really troubles me because it's easy, it's cheap, it's exciting, it's fun. You get to wear your black clothes or whatever. You get to wear your red, white, and blue sillies, whatever. But the point of that is just that you make a splash and you get on the news and you piss off a bunch of police. And in general, the process of the hard, real work of making things better is ignored in that context. And it's an expression more of frustration than intention. And I'm disappointed about that, I have to say. I don't think it's a bad thing that people are out there, because I would hate to have the fascists dominating the street. On the other hand, when you get into these situations which simply serve to empower the police, I'm not sure it's so useful. It makes much more sense to be out there petitioning.
Well,
not as exciting.
No, I don't want to be held up as the good guy in the.
No, I didn't mean to do that.
Yeah, but no, I wouldn't put the Antifa on the same level as the fascists out there on the streets. One with black.
No.
So, but I do think that that it's really important for people like. Who are people like all of many of us who see that that the country is going in a 180-degree wrong direction, that it's easy for us, and including myself, to be talking among ourselves a lot, mm-hmm. to be having meetings and figure out what next steps are and to vent a lot about all the horrible things going on. But to actually get out there on the street and talk to people that you don't know and who have many, many different ideas and come from different demographics, and it's really an important thing to do. Because like Dave is saying, and I really agree, people are very much more aware and very much more progressive than we're led to believe by the corporate media. And
I think that's really an important point.
It's important, and it's important for us to see that, because the way that people on the left get bamboozled by the media is to think that we're alone, that, you know, we think this and everyone else is, you know, uninformed and right-wing and all that. But when you get out there and talk to people, it changes you, and it makes you feel like there is hope. And also, that the fact that we're out there doing that is a way for the people on the street to know that there's something going on, because, you know, unless they listen to KABU or Democracy Now!, they don't hear about this, you know, Portland Clean Energy Fund, and that people of color groups are getting together with environmental groups, and this is a good thing for the future. You've got to get out there and do it. So I really think, you know, when we're saying people to come out and help gather signatures, it's more than just getting this on the ballot. It's that's the kind of work we have to be doing.
Yeah. I want to be clear about something. I didn't mean to attack per se anti-fascist street struggle.
Yeah.
And I think it's probably a necessity given that the right-wingers are marching around. However, the danger I see in that is it strengthens the hand of the authorities in every time when there's an actual fight in the street. And it's hard to avoid that when you're in the street. And it's a difficult problem. This and things like this are very positive, are very strong, and can create for people, ordinary people, a sense of empowerment. And even if it fails, which I don't think it will, even if it fails, it is the beginnings of something very creative, very positive, and having potential that shows people there really are alternatives within the construct of the existing system.
Right.
So I like that. Anyway, we got some callers. 231-8187. Molly, you're on the air. Molly? No Molly.
Good golly,
no Molly? Molly? All right, we'll go on to somebody else. The phone lines are open. I want to urge people to call 231-8187. Again, we're talking about a very, I think, very exciting idea, the Clean Energy Fund. It's not a huge transfer of capital. It is a significant number to many capitalists, because it's the door wedge, you know, it opens things up, and that'll be why they will fight so hard on it. From the point of view of them as people with families and so on, you wouldn't think they'd even struggle at all. Molly's back. Hey, Molly, let's hear from you.
Yeah, sorry, I'm using the old phone technique here that I guess came undone, but I just want to say, if I can keep my thoughts clear, that getting out and talking is KABU is doing that, but we are kind of talking to ourselves, and like Bernie said, get out there for this next election. Mm-hmm. Talk to, you know, the people that aren't listening to KABU. Mm-hmm. So I want to say that first off.
Uh-huh.
And I also want to say that the Poor People's Campaign is happening as we speak. That Martin Luther King, I called in about that 50 years ago, his idea carrying forward. And I also want to keep the thought that you said, Joe, about riding the bus with your token or whatever ticket that isn't being...
Well, apparently, I just got a note from somebody that the old tickets are good on the buses, but not on the MAX.
MAX. Oh, okay. Well, but that idea gave me the idea of, as Bernie and other people were talking about, like college, you know, college being free for everybody. Why not? You've got educated people that are ready to spread their knowledge. The buses and the MAX are running, and you know sometimes they're empty, and the traffic's getting really bad in Portland. So how about if these big corporations got the little kudo ego boost of saying, "Well, we're funding mass transit for Portland. Yeah, you know, we're get on the bus anytime.
That's
students,
great.
Poor people, homeless people, anybody, people who don't want to get stuck in traffic, and we're taking care of it, just like taxes. And then we are the government. We are Democracy Now." Taking care of our people, and all these big companies can get the ego boost of a like, we're the GoFundMe. We have a place to go put our money, this extra money we've got, these millions. Somebody just donated like $20 million to some university because he had it and it was somewhere for it to go. Let's create channels for that to go, which I'm so glad to hear this is happening and you're doing this with the climate and the planet in mind also.
Great.
Anyway, that's all I want to say. I just wanted to get in on the conversation. I think it's great.
Sure. Thank you very much. Again, if you're just tuning in, it's the Clean Energy Fund that is right now seeking signatures from those of you who vote, and hopefully that's a lot of you. And it's really an important process. We have another caller.
John,
you're on the air.
Okay, yeah. What she said.
What she said. Okay.
Yeah, it looks like we all went to different schools together. Are the energy companies somehow getting taxed too? They're not retail, but how
right. Utilities
much
are
more difficult yeah. will it be to do this to them? You've got leverage with retail. You're basically blackmailing them, of course.
Yeah, because they can't leave.
We're not worried about that.
Yeah, they're not going to leave Portland.
Yeah, bigger targets will be much harder to deal with. Remember when PGE, Enron, remained our energy provider in Portland. So, yeah.
Well,
anyway, it's not all roses, but it's a wonderfully clever idea. Yeah. It just needs to be bigger.
Yeah. Well, utilities
all
aren't.
Right.
Yeah, utilities.
Adios.
Bye. Utilities are not subject to the 1% surcharge.
Ah.
But Chevron, like gas stations, would be.
Chevron.
Yeah,
oh.
So Chevron, that's something we didn't mention before, but yeah.
Standard Oil.
The oil companies.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Oh, that's...
Right.
Okay, that... I was just thinking, essentially, the way this is going to probably be perceived by the established large capital is that it's a wedge in the door.
Right.
And even though exactly. it doesn't actually cost them that much, they're going to see it as a precedent.
That's right.
And a dangerous
yeah.
one. So I think that there will be serious lying.
Right. There
and
will
I have
be.
To add, lying, resistance, lots of ads, all kinds of money spent, money that you guys will never be able to gather.
Exactly.
So you've got to reach out to people. I think this gathering petitions is in and of itself a good way to approach
That's
the
right.
problem.
Yeah. No, you're really, I think what you're saying, Joe, is absolutely right, that they will see it as that foot in the door that they don't want. I mean, that is the reason the Portland Business Alliance, also known as the Portland
Chamber of Commerce,
yeah. you know, that's why they were fighting tooth and nail. They kept this locked up for months in court. That's why it's actually a real challenge to get the signatures, because if we had months to get them, once people hear about it, they sign it. But we have to get to the people, and that's why we need more people out there talking.
Yeah, I think it's really important. And I think that you need more people out there mm-hmm. looking for signatures. And if nothing else, you're informing people.
That's right.
And probably, given the feeling that people generally have toward huge corporations, you get the signatures you need. But this is more than simply that. Again, because I see it, as do the corporations, as a foot in the door, it's the beginning of a notion of social democracy. This is not anti-capital. This is not pro-capital. This is a reasonable solution to the sharing of the wealth that is necessary if we're going to maintain the system, actually.
Well, it's a model of the just transition. I think that has to be kept in mind, that we need to get away from fossil fuels.
Right.
We absolutely have to. That's the bottom line. How do we do it? We already have a capitalist system that is absolutely unjust, and we have to make this transition to away from fossil fuels in a way that doesn't replicate the same unjustness. We have to redress the unjustness of what we have now as we're making a transition to fossil fuel free economy. So we need this just transition, and this is a small model of what it can be, and that's something that does, I think, that does knock up against the system.
Well, first of all, if you get your signatures, which I hope you do,
yeah.
and I know that you need more volunteers.
Yeah.
But and I want to again tell people they can call the Sierra Club 503-238-0442 extension 307 or go visit them. And this campaign is called the Clean Energy Fund. It really makes sense. I see nothing evil or sneaky about it.
No.
It's very direct, and it's something that should have happened a long time ago.
And it's led by people of color.
Yeah, and that's an irony here.
Yeah.
Given that this is white Portland.
That's right.
I mean,
that's
really.
Right. That's right. It really, and Joanne Hardesty, who is running for city council, and I just think that she should be on the city council. She was one of the people who really was promoting this.
Okay, we're out of time. I want to thank you both for being here. And again, it's the Clean Energy Fund. And again, you call the Sierra Club and to get a petition to put out there. And there is a need for lots and lots of people to be talking to lots and lots of people about this thing.
Thank you.
Thank
you very much for being
on
the
air.
This is really mainstream radio.
I think so.
This is yeah, this is good. Exactly there. From the war against disorder, from the sirens night and day, from the fires of the homeless, from the ashes of the gay, democracy is coming to the...
Coming up this morning on KBOO, at 9 on Alternative Radio, political commentator and media critic Norman Solomon asks if the Democratic Party can live up to its name. At 10, it's Air Cascadia, headlines, interviews, and commentary. And at 10:15, it's Flashpoints with Dennis Bernstein. At 11, on stage in Studio D, May talks to Alina Kim, creator of the POC storytelling series Invisible Spectrum Stories. And at 11:30, Art Focus welcomes Bruce Gunther to talk about the painter R.B. Kitaj, whose show A Jew, Etc., Etc. is on now at the Oregon Jewish Museum. Thanks, KBOO members, for your support. To keep informed and get involved, go to kboo.fm and click on Donate to become a member.
Radio holds open meetings concerning the operations and programming of KBOO in accordance with requirements of the Communications Act of 1934 and certifications requirements of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Information about KBOO Community Radio's open meeting policy is available by calling the station at 503-231-8032. Meetings will be held at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue, Portland, Oregon, unless otherwise noted. The events committee meets the third Thursday of each month at 6 p.m. Please call 503-231-8032 to verify if a meeting is being held.
You are listening to KBOO Portland on 90.7 FM, K282BH Philomath on 104.3 FM, and K220HR Hood River on 91.9 FM, and on the web at kboo.fm.
Join KBOO and Kofallen Cultural Center on Thursday, June 14th at 7 p.m. at the Clinton Street Theater for an evening of storytelling, live music, and film. Malian artist, author, and storyteller Baba Wage Jakite starts with a talk on the background of the Empire of Mali and the role of West Africa's oral historians before the screening of Keita, Heritage of the Griot.